Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Center for Christian Music Studies at Baylor University. This podcast was recorded at the 2012 Alleluia Conference. For more information about Alleluia, visit our website, where you will find conference dates and details, audio and video recordings, and a list of confirmed clinicians for next summer's event. For this information and more, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.
Let's work on a song, and we'll teach it from the very beginning. Let's see what we do with it all year. And this is possibly, I'll have to think, this is possibly my favorite song to use with preschoolers. I use this one every year to a varying degree with the different, you don't teach the same thing every single year, do you? I don't, because I'm the same, but they are not. And my group is different every year, so we teach something different every year. This is the song that sing the song about Jesus. If you weren't here this morning, I'll tell you, my daughter brought me home a cold from youth camp that arrived today at 7 o'clock. No. And my poor roommate was saying, why are you coughing so much? What are you doing? I was saying, yeah, right on this day is when I'm going to get this. So you have to listen carefully. Normally, you would sing a little brighter for the children, but I don't want to cough on you. Sing, this is the A part. Sing the song about Jesus, and then it does it again. Sing the song about Jesus. And then the B part. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then back to the A part. Sing the song about Jesus. So, of course, we echo sing that. We learn how to sing it. And we actually use graphics. I don't put A, but we use graphics to show, like, you know, a big green circle and a, you know, and then maybe whatever you want to use to denote A. And once they've got that under control, then I sing the A part, and it's their job to sing the B part when it comes up. And then I sing the A part again at the end. And not that same day, but maybe the next week, we flip, and they sing the A part to me, which, of course, is a lot more, there's a lot more singing to that, and I sing the B part in the middle. Then we have one group who will hum the A part while the other group is singing it. And then they have to sing the B part in the other group. Now, that is a little hard, but I'll tell you that they do it better than we do. If someone makes a mistake, it's a grown-up person who gets mixed up as to what part they're supposed to be doing. And humming is not, it's not really a developmental skill for fours and fives, but it gives them a way to hear the tone that they're singing. And the other thing you can do is use those, you know, and just tell them to sing into it. What are those called? PVC pipes. And they can hear way better what's coming out of their mouth, even though everybody around them is singing also. Then we sing one part and then think our way through the B part. So we've sung A, and then we all have to, and I move my mouth so they can keep time because that's a little hard, and then sing the end part. Then we add a steady beat instrument, some sticks, a shaker, and that's practice for playing some tone bells on C and C. Then you start your piece on F and C with a good steady beat, goes right along with it. And by the time you get to parent night, you can do all of that. The girls are singing the A part. The boys are singing the B part. There's somebody playing resonator bells. And you have a really nice piece. And you've taught a lot of things along the way with it as you go along. There you go. Now, y'all do this, I think, but maybe not with these. What is that?
Snowflake.
So, what is this?
It's
broken. Two halves. It's the same thing, but it's in halves. And the pieces are both there. And look at my pieces of paper. They're the same size. But this one has two pieces on it, and this one only has one. So what is this?
quarter note. Mm-hmm. Here's some double eighth notes. Do not ever use an eighth note by itself when you're teaching these kind of things. They have to come in twos. Don't ever teach anything in three. Don't build one of these that is bigger than eight beats. And really four is better to start out with. So I set this up and we read it. Ready, go. Snow, snow, snowflake, snow. And then they get to come up and somebody will arrange one. And then we say theirs and somebody will arrange another one. And then when we get to where we can do eight at a time, somebody does the first four, somebody does the last four. And this is also a very good small group activity because they get more, they can touch it more. After that,
if you don't do something like this, you'd be very surprised how fast that is just second nature to them. They don't think a thing about it. And I go from that to this. Now you noticed it was a snowflake. So am I doing this in September?
No.
This is actually after, it depends on really what age group you're using. But we look at these two, snow, snowflake, and I don't use this until the very, very end of the year, if at all. Definitely with kindergartners, you might let them see it. But so we start out saying snow, snow, snowflake, and then I have always done ta, ta, ti, ti, ta. Now we're doing ta, 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 di, ta. Do you all do anything like that? I'm really interested in what other people are doing. Do you do ta, ti, ti? Yes. That's what I have always done. At Belmont now, they're teaching, you know Belmont? Mm-hmm. Like a little tiny Baylor, maybe. At Belmont, they're teaching takadimi. So that ta is your downbeat no matter what note it is. If it's a whole note, you say ta. If it's a half note, you say ta. If it's a dotted half note, you say ta. If it happens on the beat, that's its name. If it happens in the center of the beat, it's a D. So you have ta, D, that's the center of the beat. And then in between those is a ka, ta, ka, di, mi. So that wherever your note falls determines its name, not how long the duration. Because the children really don't understand how long the duration is anyway. But they can hear takadimi, 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 ta-di, ta-di. So I've started that, and I can't really tell you whether one is any better than the other, or but something. Give them something to say. The very, very end of the year, we put a snowflake on the bottom of their. This is sort of hard to see, but we have a bigger one that we use on the floor. We put a snowflake on the bottom of their ti-ti-ta-ta. It's all the same thing, but this is at the very, very, very end. And then in kindergarten, they will set note heads on them because we have already taught all the steps up to that. And some years I add a rest in there, and some years not. It depends on the children. We've also got a set that says rose, rose, tulip, rose. And it's a picture of a pot, and the pots are all exactly the same size, but out the top is one rose, or out the top is two little tulips. And sometimes there's a pot with nothing in it. So there's a silent space, there's a rest. I don't know that all of this is essential for preschoolers, but we have a lot of fun doing it. And when they see it, when they get to first grade, they say, oh yeah, look, I know how to do this, I can do this. Do you use these? Ta, 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 ta. But then, here's a toddy or a snowflake or whatever it is you're calling it. So they can build them on the floor for each other. It's a good early arrival activity. And then try to say them. There you go. Now, there are little pieces of paper all over the room. If you would get... Now, I haven't said go yet, right? If you would get three and bring them back to your spot with you.
the Growing Up Grace curriculum, does it have the
It has.
Snowflakes?
It doesn't have the snowflakes because I was doing this before I had those, but you can have one if you like. Because I have a ton of these at home. Huh? I just printed, you know, a snowflake out on Word or whatever. The snowflakes are not in there. But they say, I think they do Ta and TT in there.
Oh, straight.
I really, really, really like Growing in Grace, and I didn't get to see any of it until the end of April, so I haven't taught it. But looking at it, I like it a lot. And I also like the idea that you can spend your little piece of money and then just print out whatever it is, whatever the parts are that you want to print out. We talked earlier about you buy the rights to that pieces of information. It's all on the computer, and then you can print out either a whole lesson, and it tells you what you need for that lesson, and it has all the visuals for that lesson, the posters, and the on the internet, or on a CD if you want it on a CD. Or if you find a song that you like a lot, you can print out all the teaching pages for that particular song. If you're going to teach this song, here's the skills it works on, here's how to teach it, here's how what the progression is. You can only print that out. And it's got its own visuals just for teaching that one song. So you can kind of build it how you want to. And I'm not sure if that's the direction we're going, digital curriculum or not. We'll have to see, I guess. I mean, not just for music, for anything. I don't know. I don't know. All right, you have some pieces of paper. We're going to read these in very quick succession. These are all Bible verses. Some of them are Psalms and some of them aren't. We're going to start back there with Amy, and she's going to read one. And we're going to go all the way across the back row and then all the way across the front row. Let me find some so I can do it. And we're not going to stop. We're just going to read them all. Listen to what they tell you. Okay, Amy, go.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered.
Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me.
Be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing and praise your might.
But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you.
Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts.
Therefore, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Go one more time.
Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees in the forest sing for joy.
Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds.
As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob.
I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with a lyre, Holy One of Israel.
The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing.
Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked.
Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the earth, all the world.
Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Now, what did you hear?
Sing.
Did you hear it say anywhere, I want to sing? How did they all start?
Sing.
Is that a suggestion?
It's a command.
That is a command. That's the word I wrote down. That is a command. And so when you're sitting in front of a group of preschoolers, you're not babysitting.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Oh, I didn't mean to talk to you. You are not babysitting. You are not having fun with them while their family goes and does something else. Mm-hmm. You're not teaching them musical skills so that they can get into Juilliard. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is helping them and doing with them what God has commanded them and you to do. It makes you look at those little people a little differently. This is God's command. And you're taking his littlest people and helping them understand how to follow the command of God. That is a lot heavier than we're babysitting in the nursery. It has nothing to do with babysitting. If I keep that in my head, I teach very well. And when I forget, sometimes I don't. I have to show you something over here.
Go over here.
We just read about that, didn't we? Do you all do that? Some of us do. We talked about that in the last session. Yes, that is definitely a part of what we're doing. These are children performing in every kind of circumstance that I could find a picture of. And they're all praising God. If you have taught them that that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We're not singing to please Mama and Daddy, although they're going to love it. And they will tell you that you did beautifully. But we're singing to God. If we're in church, that's what we're doing. Yes, right? But that's not the biggest part of what we're doing. Are we having fun? Hopefully. Y'all are having fun, aren't you? Yes. Are we doing childcare? You know, I guess we are keeping them safe at the same time we teach them. But that's not our main purpose. This is our music minister shaking hands with all the new four-year-olds on the first day of choir, building relationships. This is our first grade choir teacher at Christmas time with one of our little new first graders. Here's what we're doing. There's no picture of that. What does that look like? Teaching them what worship and praise of God is, what are we doing? I think everything that you do, everything that we've been talking about, is part of that. If they understand music, they understand what God means when he says, sing praise. Sing. It's not a suggestion. That is a command. And don't let any of them tell you I can't sing. That is not true. God made you. And even those who have no voice can sing. The Bible says the rocks will cry out. If a rock can sing, guess what? You can sing. All right. In choosing music for performance and just to sing with your children, that is an important thing to remember. We're teaching the same skills that somebody in a music class would teach, but more importantly, we're also teaching how that relates to the command from God to praise him. How does what we're doing relate to that? So we have two big bubbles. And sometimes I think songs are a little confusing for preschoolers that we ask them to sing. Please don't ever, will y'all promise me? Don't ever sing to a preschooler, "I Stand Alone on the Word of God." Okay? I mean, you know what that puts in their head? Here's my Bible. Boom. You know. And then everybody else is out of the room because I'm standing alone. You know, that doesn't make any sense to them. We get it. And it might be meaningful to us or a 14-year-old, but they don't. As much as you understand, as much as you explain that, they don't understand that. They don't get that. This book has that song in it, and when I saw it, I just, oh my goodness, what is this song doing? But they changed the words. So I guess someone else has said, please never sing, "We're Standing on the Word of God." You know, the B-I-B-L-E. It is God's word to me. I will obey God's holy word, the B-I-B-L-E. And they give you two other verses. Just in case you don't like that one, you can pick one of the others. So I appreciated that. Now, here's something that's a little more fuzzy that gets to me. Things like, there was a Bible school song a couple years ago. Y'all tell anybody at Lifeway. there was a Bible school song, the Baptists, that said, "I love Jesus better than ice cream." Which sounds good, but when you start to think about that, is your love of Jesus in any way comparable to ice cream? I mean, Jesus is our Savior. He's eternal. He's holy. He doesn't even belong in the same sentence as ice cream, much less compared to ice cream. I don't like that. I don't want to be responsible for someone starting out their life thinking that Jesus is comparable to ice cream. I don't want to be responsible for that. Here's the other one. God is bigger than the boogeyman. Do y'all not know this song? I sang this when I was a child. Let me just read it to you. I'm not going to sing. My voice is not cooperating today. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's watching out for you and me. Does that not make it sound like something's hiding under your bed and God's in your bedroom with you too? And that is scary. Hey, y'all, the boogeyman is pretend.
Yeah.
Okay? The monsters on TV are pretend.
Yeah.
God is a real holy being who created you. He does not belong in a song with these characters from television. Okay? Watch for that for me, will you? I have to tell people that sometimes and they just are not very happy with me, but I don't want to sing something to a child that is not biblically prudent. I don't want to be responsible for that. You know that thing about making little children stumble? What verse is that, y'all? Bible scholars or whoever. I don't want to be responsible for that. I don't. Do you sing hymns with your children? And we all define hymns sort of differently, but
Certain ones.
Well, do you sing hymns at your church? I mean, if you're even teaching at a church. Some people at a preschool. But, like, is it Christian preschool? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I teach them I have decided to follow Jesus because it's easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do Come Christians Join to Sing every year. And I also like Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing. And then the children sing Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. You do have to stop and talk about why would somebody want 1,000 tongues?
Right.
Why would? Because they're getting a picture in their head of 1,000 tongues, and you have to stop and talk about we want to praise God so much that our one tongue just doesn't feel like enough. We're wishing we had more, and that's not going to happen. But it's just a way to say what we're wishing that we could praise Him more, you know. And I feel like if you've talked to them about that, they've got it. And we do use hymns because this is what we sing in church. And I want them to sometimes recognize what we do at church. If you're doing praise songs at church, then I would sing them in choir. I want them to recognize in church what we're doing in choir. That's that other hook of we're praising God. We're not just sitting in here having fun like you do on the playground. We are having fun, but we're not just having fun. We're doing something. There are songs that say, I can talk to God anywhere because he's always with me. He's watching over me. And I have seen that spook children out. So you have to be careful with that one too. To talk about that, because you don't ever know what's coming in their head. They really are at that stage where they think something's in the dark with them at night when they go to bed. And if you talk about God being right next to them all the time, you know, it's going to freak them out a little bit. I just got to say God is everywhere, and that if you need to speak to him, he's going to hear you. He can hear you from anywhere. You are the light. Go and spread the light. What do you do with that if you're four? Not very much. They're not quite getting that. How about Jesus loves the little children. Sing that with me. All the children of the world,
red, brown, yellow, black, and white,
they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Now, I can't say we sing that in choir very much, but do we sing red and yellow, black and white?
Red, brown, yellow, brown, black, and white.
I've never even sung brown. The Baptists have changed the hymnal to say, every color, every race, all are covered by his grace. Because apparently they didn't like red and yellow, black and white. So I don't have a strong opinion on that. I don't think that's biblically offensive, but just, you know. To think about. Do we want to encourage them to call attention to the fact that they're all different colors? Maybe we do. I don't know. But anyway, it's just, yeah, some of them are just a little mushy. There are just some things that are mushy. I don't sing that very much. But if I did, I think I would sing the other version of it just to avoid, you know, parents coming and saying, we're not supposed to sing. You know, we're not supposed to call people yellow or red or black or, you know. And we talk about even when we're making. At the beginning of the year, we'll make a little puppet of ourselves that goes on the wall, and then there's a photo of them next to it. And I have that paper that's all different colors, it's skin colors. And we talk about the fact that nobody is white. I mean, look at this piece of paper. Does your skin look like, you know, and nobody is black. Does anybody really have black skin? Does anybody's skin really look like that? And they just kind of are like, okay, well, you know, and if you're singing that song, nobody's yellow either. I mean, we really are all more close to the same color than we are to those crayon colors that they're singing in that song. You know, yes, we're different colors, but we're not black or white. Look at this piece of paper and see what color you are. Hold it up next to your skin. It's like a big, huge revelation. You know, I don't know. Okay, let's play. Do you want a book? I do have one choir teacher who will not touch these. And if a little child tries to hand it to her, she makes a big excuse about how she has to go now. She won't touch them. Wanted a bug? Okay. I use these for the flea that's on your toe. You know that song? Mm-hmm. On my toe there is a flea. Now he's climbing on my knee. And he climbs all the way to your head. And he climbs back down. It's something to hold. We also set these, and they'll tell me this is not a flea. I know. We're using an assortment. You can hold whoever you want. And if you want to try to change the song to, say, a fly or, you can do that. We set it on the floor and we sing, there's a spider on the floor, on the floor. There's a spider on the floor, on the floor. There's a spider on the floor. Who could ask for any more? There's a spider on the floor, on the floor. And I start the next verse is, there's a spider on my head, on my head. And they have to set the spider up there. And then try to sing the next line with me once they've heard the first one. There's a spider on my head, on my head. There's a spider on my head. I'm glad it's not as bad. There's a spider on my head. use these for that too. And you know, if they have something in their hand that they're supposed to be doing with you, they attend a lot better. You all know that.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more, it seems like. We like the little song where, if you can imagine a big spider web on the floor with tape.
Mm-hmm.
One elephant went out one day to play on the spider web. Do you know this little song? I wish my voice was better. I'll try to sing it to you. One elephant went out to play upon a spider web one day. He had such enormous fun that he called for another elephant to come. And then we count 1, 2, 3, 4. There's an 8-bar set of beats, an 8-beat set then, and then they have to choose somebody by the time we get to 8. Because if you just say, go pick a friend, what happens? Parents are coming to pick people up, and then so we count to 8, and they know by the end of 8, they have to have that friend by the hand bringing them onto the spider web. And then we sing, 2 elephants went out to play on the spider web. And we talk about how some songs are pretend. Did God make elephants to be on spider webs?
Mm-hmm.
That's something silly that we talk about. That's not really how God made people. In choosing songs, we talked about the biblical part of it. There's a lot of musical pieces to choosing a good song for preschoolers too. Do you know what range you should be aiming for a preschooler to be able to sing something?
D to A.
Mm-hmm. And Tori Ann Purdy told me G, but I've always said A. And if you start singing a little song just on your own, you're going to tend to sing it lower than that. Even if you're a soprano, you're going to tend to start it too low. And so I have to always be thinking, and sometimes I put a resonator bell next to me just to make sure that I don't start it so low that it's going to scoop down below that middle C, because then they're, you know, and then they can't match that tone. And you want to set them up for success, not for making noise and thinking that they can't really do it, or for not even realizing what it ought to sound like. You want to set them up to be able to sing something they can actually accomplish and hear that they're matching what you're singing. And you know, they can match you a lot more easily than they can match any kind of instrument. So I tell people, unless you're a bass, please sing to them instead of trying to get them to copy an instrument, because it's really hard. I mean, you're asking them to do something that's hard for a lot of grown-ups to do. They can't do that. Repetitive is good for a preschool song, and syncopation is not. Anything that's off the beat is confusing, because we're trying this whole year to learn about steady beat. So if you will look for everything to be on the beat, it's a lot better song. Do you all do... This is our take-home bag. I've done this several different ways, and normally what we do is this bag belongs to us at choir. You see it has someone's name on it because that's the person whose turn it is to take it home. They carry it home, and they get to keep it for that whole week, and they've got things they're supposed to do with it while they have it at home, and then they bring it back the next week and someone else has to take it. So in here is a craft activity that they do with their parents, and it has the instructions in it, and it's just this little shaker that you make with the plastic cups and the electrical tank. So they have that in there, and I put enough cups so that they have sisters and brothers that they can make one with everybody. It won't be a bad issue. There's a CD in here that has all of our, not all, but some of their favorite songs on it. I can't really copy all of our songs and send it home with them. I mean, we live in Nashville, the home of music rights and authors' rights and writers' rights, and you know. But if they copy it while it's there with them, then, you know, I don't know about that. Here's a note that lists all the things that are in the bag and what they're supposed to do with them. And also in our bag, I don't know if there's one in there, but yes, is a little beat buddy. So this beat buddy lives in the bag, and what I tell them to do is decide on a place for him to live with you at home. You can leave him in your car seat. You could leave him on the tail by your bed, and he can sleep with you. You could leave him on the dinner table, and he can watch you eat, or he might want to do all of those things. And there's a journal that's in there, and they get to write down, obviously their parents or their sister or whomever, what the beat buddy did this week. He sat on my table, and I tell them, you're not writing an essay, just tell us something. It just makes them feel proud to be writing part of his diary. And if they take it in the car with them, they can steady beat while they're in the car, because mama's playing music of some sort, right? Hopefully. Maybe not. There's step bells in there, and which I didn't bring those because they're very heavy on an airplane. There's step bells in there and a mallet. And there's a bag of rhythm sticks and some instructions to turn on some music at home and keep a steady beat with your family. That all lives in here. And we have a can of sticks with everybody's name on it. So every week we pull a little stick out of there. Whose turn is it to take this home? We put their name on it, because I send them from me to missions. And sure enough, at the end of missions, somebody's going to have a fist fight over whose turn was it really to take that home. So we put the name here, so the or the parent sometimes says, that's not yours. Why are you bringing that? It doesn't even belong to you. You know, go back and give that to you. So if you put their name on it, it solves a lot of that. And that is a real pull. They love that. And I've had some just tear up every single week when their name does not come up. And so last year I actually built two, so that we sent home two at a time and they didn't have to wait. So, because when you get introduced to something before Christmas and it's like all the way the next March before you get it, that is too long. They're little. That's too long. I couldn't have that any more. I couldn't have that. Okay. Here are a couple more things, and then I'm going to read this book. Maybe one more thing, I'm going to read this book. Here are my two blackbirds. This is how we work on inner voice. Do you know who they are? Two little blackbirds? Mm-hmm. Who are they?
One
named
Jack.
And one named Jill. Two little blackbirds sitting on a hill. One's named Jack. The other's named Jill. Fly away, Jack. Fly away, Jill. Come back, Jack. Come back, Jill. Okay, we can learn that in about half a second, right? So then, we use that to practice inner hearing and steady beat in your head. And when we first start doing this, I use my mouth, and at the end, I don't. And this is another one of those things. We have a joke about this, because if anybody messes up, it is not a four-year-old. It's one of us who makes the mistake. So now, let's say two little blackbirds sitting on a hill, but let's not introduce them. Let's don't start speaking again until they're flying away. Let's try it. Here we go. Two little blackbirds sitting on a hill. Fly away, Jack. Fly away, Jill. Come back, Jack. Come back, Jill. Nice. Now that we can do that, let's don't introduce them. And let's don't fly them away with our voices either. Let's only two little blackbirds sitting on a hill.
One.
Come back, Jack. Come back, Jill. And we work up to where we're speaking a phrase and then silence, and then speaking the next phrase and then silence, and to where we're only speaking one of the phrases. And if it's the second one, that's a little difficult, but they do not make mistakes. We make mistakes. And then I close my mouth. I keep my lips together. And in their head, they're having to keep that beat going to know where we are. And they come right back in. By the time you've done that a couple of weeks, they can do that. And that is very valuable for being in an orchestra, a choir, a band, any kind of where you have to keep up with where you are, even when you're not singing, playing, or whatever else. They like it. And of course, you can do that with any kind of. All right, did I show y'all these? These are very cheap right now because it's the end of summer. And you can walk into Michael's or Target or I don't know what y'all have where you live and just buy them for a quarter. I think I got these for 50 cents because they're getting rid of all that summer stuff. It's time to go back to school. so he had a steady beat. You know, if you have sticks in your hand and you say, put the beat on your head, and they take the sticks to the head, they're all going to say, ow, ow, you know. But if you've got this, then they can, and they're not going to holler at you. You know, you think, I know you were very smart people. What? Can you not know not to whack yourself on the head? Mm-hmm. All right, here comes our book. We are 5 minutes from being finished. Quick as a cricket. We talked in our last group about how every child is a special needs child. They've all got something that nobody else in the room has got. And some of them are missing something that everybody else in the room has got. Their spirits are different. Their bodies are different. Their emotional states are different. Their developmental stages are different. And we have to somehow say the same thing to all, however many of them, and reach them all with the same set of words and the same piece of music and the same, they're all different. We read this book and we use our bodies. I won't make y'all stand up. You'll be very sleepy. Or maybe I should make you stand up. We stand up and I say, use your body to show me that you're quick as a cricket. I am quick as a cricket. And they're like they're running in the Olympics. Or, you know. So y'all help me out and just do a little bit of that. It'll make me a little better. I'm as slow as a snail. I'm as small as an ant. I'm as large as a whale. I'm as sad as a bassett. I'm as happy as a lark. I'm as nice as a bunny. I'm as mean as a shark. I'm as cold as a toad. I'm as hot as a fox. I'm as weak as a kitten. I'm as strong as an ox. I'm as loud as a lion. I'm as quiet as a lion. I'm as tough as a rhino. As a lamb. I'm as brave as a tiger. I'm as shy as a shrimp. I'm as tame as a poodle. I'm as wild as a chimp. I'm as lazy as a lizard. I'm as busy as a bee. Put it all together. And you've got me. You know that the same person is not loud as a lion every week. He might be shy as a shrimp. He might have gotten yelled at. He might have had a bad day at school. His sister might have cried all night and didn't get any sleep. Most important thing for me, and you'll have to decide what it is for you, for me, is to look into those eyes when they come in the door and remember that this is a holy child of God walking in the door, and that this little soul belongs to God just like mine does. And in God's eyes, there's no older, there's no younger, there's no more valuable people, less valuable people. We're children of God. And it's a privilege to do what we're doing. Somebody said to me earlier, it's really hard to find preschool people. And I can't really believe that because I like it. But that may be true. It's a privilege. Say I'm a prayer. Don't hug them and kiss them. You know, all this stuff we're not supposed to do to them. But, you know, give them a grin and a pat. And your night will go, or your morning, or your day, or whatever you're doing, beautifully. That's my challenge. We're all finished.